Hello and welcome to the latest edition of Ipswich Town Insights. I'm Chris Brammer and I'm joined as always by Argent Chief Football Writer Stuart Watson to look at the latest goings on at Portman Road. We're looking back at Ipswich Town's 2-1 defeat at QPR on Saturday and then looking ahead to this weekend's game against the Championship's bottom team, Bolton Wanderers. Stuart, I think we better start just by looking ahead to that game and one player that will be in most fans' thoughts in terms of starting the game is Bersant Salinu, who had such an impressive cameo on Saturday. He scored a wonder goal from 30 yards, similar to Tom Lawrence as a QPR last season. And he did more in a few minutes than quite a few players did, let's be honest, on the day. Should he be starting, especially against the league's bottom club, who were at the moment, they lost 3-0 at home to Middlesbrough on Saturday, could be perceived as whipping boys?
I think it probably is his time now, isn't it? And he said as much speaking to your good self after the game. I was listening in on that, and he's a confident young man, isn't he? Celebrated his 21st birthday on Saturday. He's at Manchester City for a reason, isn't he? You think of all the multi-million pounds that have been spent on players. For him to still be on their books, he's obviously a talent. He played in the Dutch top flight for FC 20 last season. And I know it's smart in hindsight to say, or it could be deemed to be smart in hindsight to say, why wasn't he brought on earlier? But I think we were both sat there, weren't we, at Loftus Road. When the second goal went in, 4 minutes after the restart, Ipswich were 2-0 down, hadn't created a lot, weren't looking a goal threat. We were both sort of saying, you've got nothing to lose now, bring him on. We'd seen enough of Bersant to know that he was a real game changer, a skillful player, wonderful striking technique. The comparison with Tom Lawrence is a good one, really. He's got that bit of star quality, bit of X factor.
He's got an edge to him.
Yeah, he's certainly got a bit of confidence, a bit of borderline arrogance, but in a good way in terms of how he holds himself and the way he performs on the pitch. Okay, he's been ill from day one since he's arrived. He's had quite a nasty illness virus that has been spread around the rest of the camp. Missed about 6-7 weeks of training, so I can understand why he's not been involved as much up until this point, but all of the players that we've spoke to have said he's been doing some outrageous things in training. We've seen a fantastic free kick goal from about 30 yards that he scored for the 23s last week. We spoke to Mick about him quite a lot in the press conference last week, and he said no problem with his attitude. He's doing all of the dirty stuff and the tracking back and everything that he wants of him. So I see absolutely no reason why he shouldn't be given his chance now, because he's a natural winger and Ipswich haven't really got any of those out on the pitch at the moment. I'm not convinced Waghorn, his best position is out wide. They tried McGoldrick out wide at the weekend. That didn't really work. Freddie Sears works hard out there, but again, not his natural position. So you've got a natural left winger there. Let's use him.
When he was asked on Saturday, he was asked about whether he was physically ready for the Championship. And Salina did say, yeah, I'm small, I'm skinny, but when I've got the ball at my feet and if I do the hard work, there's no problem. Is it a bit of a myth that you've got to be physically, some kind of physical beast of a specimen to play in the Championship? We all know it's competitive, it's ultra competitive. It's the hardest league to get out of in the world, but yeah, he's only small, he's only slight, but surely ability will shine through, won't it?
You would think so. I think that's become a bit of a myth that's faded over the years, hasn't it? You have to be big and physical to be a good footballer. But
it definitely helps, doesn't it?
It does help, but I guess players that have this sort of inverted commas luxury tag associated with them, Mick McCarthy tends to sort of shy away from them, doesn't sort of seem to fully trust players that are, you know, out and out skillful players, maybe seen as a bit of a luxury.
We were saying on Saturday, he's had a bit of a love-hate relationship with wingers, hasn't he? You've got going all the way back, Jack Doherty, Dylan Connolly, Alex Henschel, Cameron Stewart, Anthony Wordsworth to a certain extent. They've all come here and for whatever reason, it's not worked out for them.
Yeah, and going right back to his Wolves days, wingers were what that Championship winning team was all about, with Jarvis and Kightley on the wings. And when he first came to Ipswich, I thought, you know, he would try and replicate that formula, very much a traditional 4-4-2 man, two sort of flying wingers. And as you rightly say, it's the players that he's recruited for that position, it's not worked. Ironically, the two that have been the biggest success have been Paul Anderson and Jay Tabb, that not sort of traditional, you know, out and out wingers, were they? They were hard working wingers who could tuck in and do a job. So I do think now, in not only in Salina but also Danny Rowe, from what I've seen of him, you know, let's not forget they paid out a not insignificant £100,000 to sign him from Macclesfield, a lot of money for a non-league player back in January. I thought the few cameo appearances he had at the back end of last season were very encouraging. I like the look of him in pre-season again. And I'm just, you know, we're just beginning to worry that perhaps Mick doesn't fancy him for one reason or another. So, not convinced by the strikers playing out wide regularly. Okay, you know, they scored goals in the early stages of the season, but they weren't creating hatfuls of chances. As we all know, they were a clinical side that were taking pretty much all of their shots on target. Waghorn, if you take his four goals out of the equation, we were both sort of saying on the way home, weren't we, that he's not had a huge impact beyond that. And, you know, he was recruited as a number nine, as a striker. Perhaps he needs to start playing a few more square pegs in square holes, or however we're phrasing that. I keep getting that one wrong. But, yeah, too many players out of position for me at the moment. And I know defensively his options are limited because of the injuries, but there's still no reason, you know, he's got the options to play two proper wingers and two proper central midfielders.
We don't want to dwell too much more on Saturday's defeat at QPR, so we've got to look ahead. But Tom Adeyemi, Callum Connolly. Now, Tom Adeyemi came on, and I think had he been fully 100% fit and sharp, he'd have scored that goal instead of putting it over the bar. He did really well to take it down on his knee, didn't he, and set the chance up for him. Whether he just snatched a little bit at it, whether he saw the bright lights in front of him with the away fans, and it's a last-minute goal and everything. But I just think, had he had a few games under his belt, he might have finished that one. Callum Connolly, he seemed to start well enough, and he stuck to his task all afternoon, but I thought he found it tough against Jamie Mackie. He's another example of a striker playing out on the wing, but he's tenacious, he's aggressive, he's one of those niggly players, a little bit like Joe Garner, that gets at you and under your skin. And I thought gradually over time he won that battle, Mackie, and that culminated in the first goal. What were your thoughts on those two?
Yeah, I think you're spot on. I think Adeyemi, I liked what I saw of him when he came on, actually. I think he'll be an asset going forwards. Scored goals for Rotherham last year. Dynamic box-to-box player. He did actually, it wasn't a sitter, was it, by any stretch of the imagination at the end. I offered with a really good towering header, knocked down Salina's deep free kick, and he sort of cushioned it on his thigh, and he didn't have much time to sort of adjust, and it didn't go that far over the bar. But
did he try and break the net? Like the people
say? You wonder whether he maybe just snatched it a little bit, but I wouldn't want to be too harsh on him. And I think, you know, his overall contribution, he certainly looked okay when he came on, and I think as the match fitness comes back, I think I can see him perhaps nailing down one of those central midfield slots, and might just keep someone like Cole Skuse on their toes a little bit. The midfield in general was a disappointment for me yesterday, so I don't want to lay all the blame at Cole Skuse's door. Grant Ward wasn't particularly effective. Downs wasn't anywhere near as good as we'd seen him previously. But you know, someone like Adeyemi coming in, and hopefully Hughes sooner rather than later, will just keep a few of those players on their toes. Connolly, I think you're right. It was a very experienced Championship player up against someone that's a little bit, a younger teenage player that's still learning the game. You could see some of his attributes there. He stuck to his task. He was very fiery. Our photographer Warren Page has got a brilliant picture of him almost rugby tackling someone, and he put in a lovely cross, didn't he, for Knudsen at the far post at one stage. I think he'll be better with an experienced leader like Luke Chambers alongside him, maybe just to guide him through the game a little bit more. But you can see why they've signed him.
But just on Mackie as well, but that's the sort of role that Mick wants Freddie Sears and Martin Waghorn to play, doesn't it? And for whatever reason, it's not really happened especially for Sears this season in front of goal. Waghorn's got his goals, but like we said earlier, apart from that, he's not really contributed that much. But Mackie is a goal threat, but he works tirelessly up and down that wing, doesn't he? He gets his foot in and helps his fullback.
Yeah, he did all of that good stuff, didn't he, off the ball and defensively, but he was also sort of a bustling offensive threat, wasn't he? Someone who was willing to cut inside and try and get shots away and be an attacking threat. And I'm not sure Sears has done enough of that whilst playing out wide. Waghorn, you know, we talked about him almost in the same breath as Garner as being a bit of a pest and a bit of a, you know, a physical threat, that someone that would run at people and try and make things happen. Not seen enough of that from him yet thus far out wide either. So, yeah, I'm not convinced that experiment with sort of strikers out wide is a long-term answer to it.
And looking ahead then, we've got no game on Tuesday night. The game at Derby's been postponed because of the Carabao Cup. So we move on to Saturday, and it's Bolton Wanderers at home. They're the league's bottom team. They've come up from League One and they've struggled to adapt to the Championship. They got beaten 3-0 at home to Middlesbrough on Saturday. If there's ever going to be a game to take a game to the opponent, this is the one, isn't it? I mean, we've seen Town score goals at the start of the season being fairly expansive without creating lots of chances. We don't want them going to the team that we saw last season, do we, where they were seemingly setting up safety first. They've got to attack teams like Bolton.
I think so, yeah. And the thing that pleased me most about those first four wins and the start to the season was not so much the victories, but the sort of the manner of the performances. And I thought I thought Mick was less cautious with his teams. You know, he's obviously been playing four strikers in the team at times, but that they were giving it a go. Not so much the personnel, but just the way, the manner they went about things. They were getting in people's faces again. They were being aggressive, and I don't mean aggressive in being nasty and kicking people, but they were closing down quick, and there was a bit of tempo, and they were trying to get on the front foot. And that's been the disappointment of these last two games against Fulham and QPR. Okay, Fulham were top class, we know that, but I didn't think Ipswich helped themselves in being a little bit passive and sitting off them a bit too much. And that was similar again at Loftus Road on Saturday. They just didn't win enough of the 50-50s. They didn't close down quick enough. The second goal was a case in point where they all kind of backed off. So I think they need to get back to that. I don't want them to slip back into the old habits of last season where, you rightfully say, you know, especially at home, they kind of started games where they didn't seem to fly out the blocks, and they never really seemed to believe in their own system and their own way of playing, and never really stamped their authority on games. And you're right, Bolton at home is the sort of game where they've got to decide, this is how we want to play. If Mick decides, this is how I want to play with Selena on the wing and whoever else in the team, let's really go for it and believe in ourselves and not be... Mick Keane seems to sort of keep talking about how they're going to have a lot of the ball, and we're going to, you know, we're going to look to counter-attack them and take our chances. They were never going to keep scoring every shot on target that they had, and I just worried that they sat off a little bit, QPR, a bit too much on Saturday and let them have the ball. And, you know, two sides that are very similar quality on paper, and maybe Ipswich just showed them a bit too much respect, and I hope they don't do that against Bolton.
$1 million question now, has the bubble burst, if indeed there was a bubble, or do we need to have a bit of perspective? We weren't getting too carried away at the start of the season when they were winning games. We saw that they were, obviously, the teams they were playing against were having chances. Do we have to be measured again now? It's two defeats in a row, but they're still in the top six.
I think we were measured after they were winning the games and not getting carried away, and I think equally we need to be measured now after two defeats. Everything wasn't suddenly right, and everything isn't now suddenly broken. I think realistically at the start of this season we sort of said that they'll probably be mid-table at best, and what we really wanted was a bit more entertainment, a bit more positivity, a few more memorable games and performances to be proud of. We got that early on. You know, I just hope that they can keep producing some of those, you know, reproduce some of those early performances and don't, as I said before, slip back into old habits. So they've got 12 points on the board. You can't take that away from them. They're fourth in the table after six games. We'd have snapped your hand off if that had been offered before. I don't think we should sort of downgrade the achievement of doing that. Okay, they rode their luck at times in some of those games, but they still had to win those matches under pressure. So they are what they are at the moment. I don't want to sound sort of too pessimistic or negative, but they're a mid-table side at best when you look at what people are spending around the division and some of the quality that the other teams have got. I just want them to be more fun to watch, really. And I think Saturday's a good chance to really sort of reassert themselves again and make sure that some of that feel-good factor that had been, you know, regenerated doesn't slip away.
And just finally, it's the first time we've spoken on here since the transfer window slammed shut, as the papers always say. Ironically, on Saturday, I thought Dominic Ayoub and Jordan Spence were two of the better players for Ipswich. But Mix and the club have been criticising some quarters for not signing a centre-half. They've got three centre-halves injured and they're playing with a makeshift back four with four full-backs. Were you disappointed they didn't bring in a centre-back?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen comparisons, obviously, with the fact that they've had time to get it sorted out. It was a good 2 weeks since Smith and Chambers went down injured, and Mick sort of said then that he was after somebody, and people are saying, well, it's Daryl Murphy all over again. You know, they knew for a long, long time that they needed to replace Daryl Murphy, and they never really properly did that for a year in the end. Okay, they had a fortnight to get it sorted, and they didn't. Did they put all their eggs in one basket with Connor Goldson? From what I understand, he was always the number one target of Mick's. Very good relationship with Chris Hughton at Brighton, obviously former Ireland teammates. And I think Chris was keen for Connor to come down to Ipswich because he thought that would be the best place for him to get some game time. He had heart surgery earlier this year. Mm-hmm. Very highly rated player, was a key player when Brighton finished third in the Championship a couple of years ago. So I think it would have been a really good move for all parties, and I can understand Ipswich sort of holding off, trying to hope that it would happen. It was just one of those things where Brighton didn't want to let him go till they got in a player of their own, for whatever reason. Well, we know why that fell through at the last minute, because the club that they were trying to sign him from had an injury of their own, and it was just a classic domino effect. And it created this sort of late scramble on deadline day. They looked very closely at Jason Shackle at Derby, experienced Championship player, but I think they had eventually some medical concerns about him being injury prone after delving a little bit deeper and speaking to a few people within the game. So yes, I am disappointed, but I can also understand why they didn't panic and do something, you know, that could have been an expensive mistake. And going back to the Daryl Murphy comparison, they panicked last time and they got Liam Best in, who didn't really tick the right boxes in terms of his background as a player, and that ended up being an expensive mistake. Okay, he was a free transfer, but he cost a fair few quid in wages last season, and I didn't want to see Ipswich carrying a bloated squad with loads of players that were perhaps not in the team and having a bit of a sulk up around training and affecting others. So it wasn't ideal, but the players that they've got have filled in okay, as you say. I don't think Spence and Knudsen let anybody down at centre-back. I don't think Ayoub let anybody down at centre-back on Saturday. I actually can see Ayoub has got all the tools to be a centre-back. And he's big, he's quick. Mm-hmm. He said when he signed that he sees himself as a centre-back in the long run. So hopefully Chambers is back sooner rather than later. I think the main thing that they've missed in the last few games has been his sort of leadership and his organisational skills, and perhaps we took that for granted when he was in the team week in, week out last season, and he'll be a big plus when he comes back, and he might have a chance for Saturday yet, we don't know.
Brilliant stuff. Well, that's it for now. Thank you very much for listening. That's the latest episode of Ipswich Town Insights done. Keep online this week on our websites for all the latest Ipswich Town news as we build up to that game against Bolton Wanderers on Saturday. But until next time, it's bye for now.